A recent report indicated that Heat sharpshooter Duncan Robinson is, to no one's surprise, available as a trade target. But is a deal even feasible? Who might be interested in taking on Duncan and his contract at this point? Plus, we explore some potential deals with Chicago, Dallas, Memphis, and much more on today's Locked On Heat.
You are Locked On Heat, your daily Miami Heat podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On Heat, your daily podcast on the Miami Heat, however you might be tuning in on YouTube, Odyssey, or on your favorite podcast app. Thank you for making Locked On Heat your first listen every day. I'm Wes Goldberg here with David Ramil. Today's episode is brought to you by Bet Online. Bet Online has you covered this season with more props, odds, and lines than ever before. It's Bet Online, where the game starts. All right, let's jump right into it. First of all, hope everybody had a great Thanksgiving. We've got some Duncan Robinson trade ideas for you here on a Friday morning, doing this a few days after Michael Scotto of Hoops Hype reported that the Heat are making Duncan Robinson available in trade talks. Now, before we get to some of the specific trade ideas that we drew up, and while I have no doubt that Scotto's reporting on this is accurate, it also doesn't strike me as new news any more than how the Hawks have been listening to offers for John Collins, the Knicks are open to trading Evan Fournier. Like, it's not been a secret that Miami has been angling to trade Duncan Robinson for some rotation help and to possibly get off of the rest of his salary. But maybe what this report does indicate, at least, is that conversations are happening. If Scotto is hearing this from other front offices, that means that other front offices potentially are hearing something from Miami. And if those conversations are happening, well, they probably should be happening, because the Heat aren't very good right now, and they could certainly use some help. We'll get into what that help could look like here in a second. But David, your thoughts on the Duncan report in general?
Yeah, I think pretty similarly, you know, we're not quite caught off guard by the fact that they'd make him available. I think every team has at least one contract that they'd be more than likely to move if they could. But yeah, there's a reason why they'd like to move that contract, is because either the player isn't good, the player's not available because of injury, or the player might not be perceived as the right kind of value. And I think Duncan, unfortunately, fits that bill. He's just not being as productive as he was when he was a starter a couple seasons ago. He hasn't hit the same percentages that he once did. And while he's shown some versatility in his game, and he's been, in our opinion, an overall positive factor, I just think he probably needs something that you alluded to last week, which is a change of scenery. You tend to be a little bit myopic. You know, you have some tunnel vision when you're covering a team like this, and you don't necessarily see how much that change of scenery would benefit. It happens all around the league. Yeah. You just kind of get into a rut. You can't find your footing. You've lost your place in the team hierarchy. You're not sure exactly what to do next. In Duncan's case, he probably just needs another breath of fresh air to get him unloaded again.
44% three-point shooting 3 years ago, 37% last year. He's down to 30% this year. You mentioned some of the extra things he's added to his game, showing some verve off the dribble and stuff like that. But when it comes down to it, he is a three-point specialist. And if he's not making those threes, his value decreases by quite a bit. But I do think that the change of scenery would be helpful. And you talk to players across the NBA, being traded years ago used to be viewed as a negative thing. You were just basically rejected by your team, and they traded you. They no longer wanted you. A player getting traded now, it doesn't feel the same, right? Like, sometimes a player would agree, you know what, I do need a change of scenery. Maybe I do need a different city. I'm not saying Duncan Robinson is saying that. He's not voiced anything like that publicly, and I haven't heard anything like that. But I think that everybody around can kind of see, yeah, a change of scenery might be helpful. John Hollinger, even writing for The Athletic earlier this week, kind of had a huge list of like half a dozen players who could use a change of scenery. Duncan Robinson was on that list. So here, let's just get right into the trade ideas then. Obviously, what Miami would be looking for in a Duncan Robinson trade, he's making $16.9 million this year. He's still under contract for three more years after this one. So trying to get off of some of that money, considering that they're going to be entering the luxury tax next year, and that's going to be quite expensive. So trying to get off of some of that money, but also trying to find some immediate rotation help, namely at the power forward spot. But I don't even think that beggars can be choosers in this respect. So I think any sort of rotation option for Miami at this point, any kind of depth that you can add to this team would be helpful.
Let me explore that before we get into the actual trade ideas. Like, how much do you think his perceived value around the league might be? Because it's not like his shooting luck or whatever, his shooting stroke simply vanished.
Right.
He might be lacking confidence right now, but he's shown that versatility. He's shown a little bit of the, you know, of diversity in his game. Having said that, I think there's still some reasonable value there, but he could just be viewed also like so many other Heat players in the past as just having benefited from the system, from getting them to unlock what his best skill is. And I wonder whether or not that value around the league might be a lot lower even than some Heat fans might perceive it. Like, and on top of the contract and everything else, yes, they see him as a good shooter, but I don't know that he's seen as a valuable piece moving forward just because Miami has gotten so much out of so many kind of low-level rotation players in the past, and he might just be the next of a long line of those.
I actually think it's going the other way right now for Duncan Robinson because the Heat are just not using him basically at all. Even I know he's injured lately, but he's basically fallen out of the rotation for the most part. I think that there are teams that might be in need of a three-point shooter who say he's not actually getting the run that he needs in Miami, and they might see it too as him needing a change of scenery. So I agree with you. In the past, that's been the case with some players. I don't think that's necessarily the case with Duncan Robinson. And the three-point shooting is not something that was a fluke. He is still an elite three-point shooter. It's just he can't get into a rhythm. And I think other teams watching Miami can realize that and understand that. When you're a good three-point shooter, you just are a good three-point shooter. When you're actually a good one. When we're not talking about weird fluke years like Julius Randle had or Draymond Green had half a decade a year. When you're an actual good three-point shooter, that thing doesn't just leave. That thing tends to age with you. So the tough part about Duncan is the contract. Because when you get down to it, he's a very good elite three-point shooter despite what the numbers show this season. He is still an elite three-point shooter. But just being an elite three-point shooter and being as negative as he has been defensively for almost $17 million a year with three more years left on that contract, that's the tough part to swallow. And so when you're talking about the deals that we're about to get into, it's not going to be trading a big Duncan Robinson contract for a star, a big Duncan Robinson contract for another big contract for a super helpful, super positive player. What we're going to end up looking at is bad contracts for bad contracts. I think about the Hassan Whiteside deal that landed Myers Leonard, and I forget the second half of that trade from Portland. Myers Leonard actually ended up being a helpful piece for Miami, but around the league, that was viewed as a negative asset contract. Duncan Robinson right now, viewed as a negative asset contract. So let's look at it. We're going to go from least likely to most likely. Not really reporting behind this, just sort of what I think would be least likely and most likely. Let's start with the least likeliest trade here. Duncan Robinson goes to the Chicago Bulls for Lonzo Ball and Tony Bradley. So you're getting Duncan Robinson. You got to throw Dwayne Dedman in there for contract purposes. Duncan Robinson and Dwayne Dedman to Chicago for Lonzo Ball, Tony Bradley. Lonzo Ball obviously has not played this year because he's dealing with a knee issue. Tony Bradley basically has fallen out of the rotation in Chicago. Ball is probably going to play again this season. He's been out for months, according to The Athletic, or he's supposed to be out for a few months, according to that report. So no telling when he's actually going to come back, but is expected to play at some point this year, but has three more years left on his contract, or maybe it's two more years left on his contract. I'd have to double check, but on a long-term deal that pays him upwards of $19, $20 million a season. So expensive for a guy who's been injury plagued, but that's kind of what we're talking about here. What do you think about this deal?
It's an interesting one because we know that Pat Riley was personally involved and interested in scouting for Lonzo Ball when he was just entering the draft. So there is some history there. You wonder whether or not he might be willing to revisit that kind of talk. And look, you're talking about the three-point shot being wonky and everything else notwithstanding. Lonzo is, at this point in his career, I think viewed, if he's healthy, as a pretty high-level defender, a guy who can create a shot, pretty nifty passer and things of that sort. All things that Miami could absolutely use. If you're looking at moving like salary for like salary, and you've got a deficit at point guard, ball handling, and that's something that we've absolutely seen over the last couple of games when Gabe Vincent's been out or Kyle Lowry's out or somebody like that, you don't have enough of that on the roster, especially Jimmy Butler, Tyler Herro are going to be missing time as well. This gives you an infusion of youth, some relative athleticism, the ability to create opportunities for others and for yourself. And I think that's something that's absolutely a high value need and priority for Miami. I like the deal.
And somebody that
would
push the pace. We hear Eric Spoelstra always talking about being opportunistic, kick ahead passes, all these things. Every team Lonzo Ball has been on and every lineup that he's involved with always ranks pretty high in pace. So I think he would be a helpful sort of injection of energy too.
Yeah. You know, if you're going to lose Gabe Vincent in free agency, which it seems likely because he's probably just going to be priced out of whatever Miami
definitely possible.
Could afford, unless, right. I'm sorry?
Definitely possible. Yeah. I don't know if it's likely, but that's a different conversation. Definitely possible.
You know, this it makes a lot of sense in a lot of ways. If you're going to be paying that salary to Duncan and he's not going to quite fit what it is that you expected him to when he signed into that deal a couple seasons ago, yeah. You're going to get something that you need. I think why it's less likely to happen, at least in your view, is what is Chicago looking to do? Can they punt on this season when they've got older players like DeMar DeRozan, Nick Vucevic, Goran Dragic, and everybody else there? Do they still see themselves of having a title window this season and beyond so that they'd be more willing to retain a guy like that? Because Duncan would add some value to that roster, but at the same time, I don't know that he's necessarily going to catapult him. He's not going to raise their ceiling any
this year. No. I mean, he's not going to turn them into a championship contender, but he'll play for them. And Lonzo Ball right now is not playing for them. So I almost think it is a little bit more of a short-term option for Chicago than a long-term one, considering that you hope that Lonzo Ball eventually gets healthy and is more available for them. But again, with him, injuries have plagued him his entire career. The Bulls do need shooting. Duncan Robinson might be the most available shooter out there. It's like him or Joe Harris from Brooklyn. They could make a more minor move, but maybe they're just scared off by the medicals with Lonzo Ball. They have Ayo Dosunmu, who's a really good point guard for them. They might not need Lonzo Ball anymore, especially when you've got Ayo on a really bargain contract. Not to mention you still have Alex Caruso. You've got Goran Dragic coming off the bench for you at least this year. So maybe they just
can
look at Lonzo
and
they
deal
say,
too? "Can you?" I guess that wouldn't make a lot of sense for Chicago.
No,
they wouldn't want to trade two of their point guards. But yeah.
But Duncan would give them some 3-point shooting and space the floor around guys like DeMar DeRozan. Put another shooter on the floor next to Zach LaVine. Like, this is a team that could use some space. The reason I think it's not very likely is these contracts are so big and there's so much uncertainty with both of these contracts. It's almost like the devil you know type of thing, where if, like, you know, gun to their head, these front offices would probably be like, you know what, I'm just going to keep this bad salary instead of trading one bad salary for another bad salary. And that's often what we end up kind of getting to with a lot of these kinds of trades when we're involving these big onerous kind of salaries that are on these cap books is, yeah, at least I know what this is. I don't know that I want to trade this thing that I know what it is for that uncertain thing over there. And that's why I have it as being so unlikely, but it's on the list. It's not like completely impossible.
Unlikelihood rating on a scale of 1 to 10. What would you put this as?
Okay. This is like a different thing now. 10 being like the least likely, yeah. 1 being likely.
10 being the most likely. Like
10 being the most likely.
Slam dunk. Yeah.
Like a 2. 3. Like a 3.
Yeah.
All right. All right. Let's move on to our next fake trade that involves a third team that takes to land Jay Crowder. First, today's episode is brought to you by BetOnline. BetOnline.net is your number one source for sports betting information, stats, news, and analysis. Get the latest odds and trends for every professional and amateur league out there, from football to basketball to soccer and esports. They have it all over at BetOnline. And if you love sports podcasts, you can find those at BetOnline as well. They are always the fastest and easiest way to get your betting fix. Let's see what we got going on this weekend. We've got the Dolphins, 13-point favorites at home over the Houston Texans. 13 points seems like a lot, especially for Dolphins fans who are not accustomed to your team even being favored by that much, let alone winning by that much. But they just beat Cleveland at home by 22 points. And as bad as Cleveland is, Houston is way worse. Give me those 13 points. I'll take the Dolphins plus 13. Let's go. Or minus 13. Let's do it. Bet online. Head to the website today. Use your mobile device to learn more. Bet online, where the game starts. Thank you for making Locked On Heat your first listen every day. For your next listen, check out the Locked On Sports Today podcast, the biggest stories of the day, plus instant reactions, big game recaps, and the take of the day. It's available on the Odyssey app, YouTube, or wherever you get your podcast. Before I get to the three-team deal that lands Miami Jay Crowder, here's my next one. Again, going from least likely to most likely trade scenario. This one involves the Memphis Grizzlies. Duncan Robinson and Victor Oladipo to Memphis for Dylan Brooks and Danny Green. So okay. Danny Green, 1 year, $10 million salary, partially guaranteed. He's going to be a trade chip. He's not going to really be a factor in the rotation, still injured right now for Memphis. So that's like not a player that really counts in terms of the rotation, but he's in this deal in order to match salary. If you're Memphis, the idea is, okay, Dylan Brooks, expiring contract, hasn't been super helpful for you this year, if you're being honest. He's kind of erratic for you, missing a bunch of threes. It kind of feels like sometimes they'd be better off if they didn't have Dylan Brooks. But I do, I'm a fan of Dylan Brooks' game. I think he's another one of these guys who might need a change of scenery. 6'7", 220-ish, super physical. Reminds me of like a young Jay Crowder in a way that he just plays bigger than his body and just really muscular and can kind of play up bigger than his size. And then you're moving Duncan Robinson to Memphis. You can always use shooting around Ja Morant. And Victor Oladipo, who is injured. But if you think about what Memphis needs, having another guy like Victor Oladipo, a two-way player who can handle the ball, coming off the bench, come playoff time, if he's healthy, that could, to me, be really helpful for them. He's got the option next year, so you're not really tied to too much money. Even if he does opt in, he comes off the books the next year. The problem is that Duncan Robinson is due so much money. He's got 3 years left. And we've seen in the past Memphis deciding, you know what, we're not going to re-sign Kyle Anderson. We're just going to draft a guy who we think we can replace Kyle Anderson. They've been reluctant to take on long-term money. Duncan Robinson counts as long-term money. But if you convince them that, hey, give us one of your rotation players for two of ours, so you could just make a little bit of a run this year. I don't know. It's on the bottom of the list in likeliness, but I like the deal kind of for both sides. What do you think?
No, I think it's actually a much better deal than you're giving it credit for. Like, you've got Desmond Bane there, who's been an incredible find for them, and a big regret for a lot of Heat fans. That
I wish we. I was trying to figure out a way to get Bane, but it's not. It's like that'd be
No, there's no reason why they'd ever
three unprotected first, and they still would probably say no.
Yeah, he's turned into a low-level star already in his second season. This is his third season now.
Third season. He can make the all-star team. I mean, that's the best backcourt in the league, Ja Morant and Desmond Bane, right now.
So, yeah, I think the need for Brooks is less. Like, he's a high-energy guy, high-emotion guy. They love that spirit that he brings there, the competitiveness to the locker room.
A little bit of Draymond Green to his – he like goes over the edge a lot. Like he picks up way too many techs. He fouls way too much.
We love dogs here, right?
I mean, that's what I'm saying. I think a culture fit. He's perfect.
Yeah, I can see it from both perspectives. Like, you know, Duncan slides in automatically. I think he'd start at the small forward spot. And again, you've got Bane on one end on one wing. You've got Duncan in one corner. You got Ja attacking the basket mercilessly.
Jaren Jackson, if he's healthy, can space the floor. Yeah.
I mean, that would be a fantastic team, a lot of fun. I think he would, you know, give them some of that, not the missing ingredient that they didn't have necessarily last year, but I think he would just add another dimension.
He's a pure shooter.
Defensive concerns. Yeah, the defensive concerns are noticeable. I think that would be a problem there. But, you know, Dylan Brooks is a better defender, but he gambles a lot too. Like, he's not like the most steady one-on-one defender.
He's a little bit like Patrick Beverley in that he acts like a really good defender, but then you kind of watch it and you're like, maybe he's not that good of a defender.
He sure tries.
He's tricking y'all. No, but he's good. No, Dylan Brooks is he's a better defender than Duncan Robinson is. And I think the Heat could use that activity. We talk about all the time how you just need this group this year needs somebody with the burst of energy. Like, Dylan Brooks is almost bigger Caleb Martin in that way, where he's always going 100 miles an hour. So I like, and look, he's streaky as a shooter, which is better than not being ever streaky. And so I think, he's another one of these ignitable guys that Spoelstra loves.
I'm not a fan of the theatrics in general.
I've always been.
Again, maybe that's just kind of one of those things. It's like, oh, you don't like him when he's on their team, but on your team, you're kind of all in. I could see him sliding in there and being a big addition laid out. Where would he fit in the starting lineup? I mean,
You would play him at the four.
Ooh.
It's not ideal, but that's where you'd put him.
Wow.
And then you bring Caleb Martin off the bench. Two.
Yeah. Oh man. Yeah. I guess so. But all right. In terms of likelihood, I could give it more like a five. I think, if you're looking at the Lonzo Ball deal as a three, this one seems like a good fit for either.
Yeah.
Again, both teams changing things up, but adding a tweak to their dimension.
And you get Danny Green, who probably doesn't play for Memphis this year, but he could be healthy like right before the playoffs. We still don't really know what his prognosis is. I know that Heat fans are still wary of Danny Green. I've always loved Danny Green. San Antonio.
He's a great guy to have in the locker room.
Yeah.
He's won everywhere he's gone. Like, I mean, he's won with the Lakers, he's won with the Raptors, and he's won with the Spurs.
I don't know how much he's got left, but just to your point, having him in the locker room would just be a benefit, too, for this team.
Hell yeah.
All right.
Yeah, steadying presence. I think it's a great deal for Miami. I mean... I just don't see if Memphis is that interested.
That's the problem. It's the long-term salary.
You have to show more, like, from Oladipo, too. Like, you can't just say the promise of Victor Oladipo is incredible, but you'd have to show something. But we'll see how it pays out.
That's the problem. And again, none of these guys could get traded until January. You know, like with Victor Oladipo, these guys, like, Duncan Robinson could get traded right now. Dylan Brooks could get traded right now. But for the most part, trade season's not going to start until mid-January. So these deals aren't deals that are going to happen this weekend. These are deals like in the future. So maybe Victor Oladipo comes back, shows something, and then Memphis is willing to take a gamble on him. All right, we got that three-team deal that lands Jay Crowder in Miami. We've also got another deal involving the Dallas Mavericks that I think people are going to be really interested in. But first, David, tell the listeners about our next sponsor.
Yeah, this episode is brought to you by Sweatblock. We've talked about it a number of times in the show. I had a friend of mine who's a teacher and had an uncomfortable situation where he was just, you know, through no fault of his own and had no understanding of it, would just wind up sweating profusely. And there he was in the middle of the classroom. You know how you're there in front of everybody. You got no choice. You got to kind of just trudge along, and he would find himself by mid morning sweating through his shirt. Sometimes he got to the point where he had to bring an extra shirt to class. It was uncomfortable, embarrassing. He never wanted to be that in front of his students. But I recommended to him Sweatblock as soon as we found that they were a sponsor of the show. He tried it, loved it. It's renewed his confidence. He feels so much better. Just never has to worry about changing his shirt. It works great. And he's just been really happy. And it's available anywhere. You can find it at CVS. You can find it on Amazon. You can try sweatblock.com. The Sweatblock wipes have been a bestseller at Amazon for the past 10 years with over 10,000 five-star reviews. So don't miss this opportunity to try Sweatblock. If you or someone you love is experiencing embarrassing sweat or odor, twice try Sweatblock. Save 20% with the promo code Locked On at sweatblock.com. That's sweatblock.com, and it's also available on Amazon.
Thank you for making Locked On Heat your first listen every day. If you're following us on YouTube, make sure that you are subscribed to our YouTube channel. Ring the bell to get notified as soon as new episodes go up. And make sure that you also subscribe wherever it is that you listen to your podcast. In case YouTube isn't available to you, you could check out the audio version wherever you listen to your podcast. Let's quickly get to this three-team deal involving Phoenix that brings Jay Crowder back to the Heat. All right. Mm. Three-team deals are always hard to do on podcasts because it kind of feels there's so many moving parts. So just try to follow along, listener. I'll start with what Miami gets. So it involves the Miami Heat, the Phoenix Suns, and the Houston Rockets. All right. And this is, I got this idea based on the reporting of Jake
Milwaukee,
Fisher.
Miami in place of Milwaukee in this deal, right, basically?
Exactly. Fisher reporting that a deal was almost done between Milwaukee, Houston, and Phoenix. Well, I'm assuming that because the deal hasn't gotten done, it's been almost, a week since that report, that something...
Going off the table.
Maybe it's off the table. It fell through for some reason or another. So let's just replace Milwaukee with Miami, all right? So we got these three teams involved. Miami gets Jay Crowder and Landry Shamet from Phoenix.
Oh, they just got him back, too.
They get Mo Harkless, our old friend Mo Harkless, and Kenyon Martin Jr. from Houston. Okay, so
wait,
four.
Miami gets
Yes, all those four.
How quickly do they cut him?
Immediately. It's just for salary filler.
He's not even on a contract.
Yeah. So you get those four. It's needed for salary. You'll see why. So Crowder, Shamet from Phoenix, Harkless, and Kenyon Martin Jr. from Houston, all coming to Miami. Wow. Phoenix gets Eric Gordon, which is the player they wanted in the Milwaukee version of this, who I think, by the way, would be a home run fit for the Suns. That's exactly what they need is Eric Gordon. And Omer Yurtseven.
Who?
Yeah. Houston gets Duncan Robinson and Victor Oladipo, again, who they waive immediately. So.
Who?
Houston get, or they can keep him, but I would imagine they'd probably just waive him. But they get Duncan Robinson in exchange for Eric Gordon, which to me feels about right, considering that Eric Gordon, you got to get something for him, Duncan Robinson. It's almost a benefit for them that he's on a long-term contract as opposed to Eric Gordon. You keep him under salary, and he's a guy who could space the floor around Jabari Smith Jr. and Jalen Green and Kevin Porter and all those guys that they got going on there. I think for a team like that that's already not good defensively and not really expecting to be good defensively and wants to be really good offensively.
Heat culture, too.
Like, yeah, you can sell him on that, too, for sure. Yeah. So all that stuff's good. So that's where I'm at. Do you have to swap out Omer Yurtseven for Max Strus to get Phoenix on board? I don't know. the fact that they're getting Eric Gordon to me is the reason why they would do this for a player that's not already not playing for them in Jay Crowder. I don't think they care all that much about Landry Shamet, especially if they're getting Eric Gordon back, who's a much better fit there. And Miami, you get Crowder, you get Shamet, who's a nice piece. You get Kenyon Martin Jr., which has been reported something that they've been interested in the past. Could he slot in at power forward? Maybe. He's still kind of small like Caleb Martin is, but he's another option there at least. What do you think? Quickly on this one, but what do you think?
I think it's great. I mean, for Miami, they get Crowder. You know, if you're going to move a player in Duncan who hasn't been consistent or getting the playing time that he was expected to get, I think it's a nice fit. And you get a backup forward in Kenyon Martin Jr., who you can develop and you can continue to groom and have him slot in as a starting four next season. I think, you know, when Crowder becomes a free agent at the end of this year, that's the problem, though, is that in Crowder's case, he wants to play. He wants to play a lot. He wants to be able to sign for a lot of money this season and beyond. So I wonder if that's a concern on his end. But you know what? He doesn't really have much say in the matter. Maybe he reports, maybe he doesn't. Either way, Miami now all of a sudden goes from no power forwards on the roster to two of them. So it'd be a great addition for them. And Shamet, I mean, I like what he can do. In theory, he's another floor spacer. He's a streaky shooter as well.
Yeah.
So he'd be a nice
can handle the ball a little bit. Decent defender, better than Duncan Robinson at least. He's got 3 years left on his contract, I think, between $9.5 and $10 million a year, depending on the year. So it's a little hefty for a guy who's kind of a fringe rotation guy at this point.
Not great, but yes. But, I mean,
but if you're considering that you're
at this point, you know.
Exactly. Like, you're going to have to take on some tough salary anyway. And by the way, Crowder is up for an extension. Like, he's eligible for a veteran extension. So you could trade for him and then sign him to that extension. So even if you're doing, like, a $10 million a year extension for Crowder, and you make, you know, okay, he's going to be your power forward for the next 2 years, and Shamet, those two salaries combined kind of equal what Duncan Robinson is going to be owed. And so that's sort of like going back to what I said with like Whiteside for Myers Leonard, and I cannot remember the other salary that the Heat got back. It was Myers Leonard and somebody else from Portland, and it kind of added up to the total salary of Whiteside. It was basically a two-for-one kind of deal where you needed a little bit more rotation pieces, and that would be similar for what Miami's getting here. All right. Let's move on to our next one, second to last. Duncan Robinson and Victor Oladipo to the Dallas Mavericks for Tim Hardaway Jr. and JaVale McGee. All right. So Tim Hardaway Jr., a popular name here in Miami, Tim Hardaway, his son, obviously, has not been playing very well. Missed the last, 4 weeks of the season last year because of an injury. Yeah. Has not really found his shooting stroke since returning. He's shooting 31.9% overall, 31.4% from three-point range. JaVale McGee lost his starting job in Dallas. One of the weirdest contracts to be signed this offseason. He was like the minute after free agency started, the Mavericks signed him to a three-year deal at the mid-level exception. So that was kind of weird. You don't love to take on that kind of salary, but again, this is what happens when you're trading on when you're trading a salary like Duncan Robinson. So look, Tim Hardaway Jr., $19 million a year, making more than Duncan Robinson, but his deal is 1 year less. He has got 1 year less on it than Duncan's does. And then McGee, he at least adds depth in the front court. What do you think of this deal?
Sure.
Okay.
Sure.
Did I mention Victor Oladipo as part of this trade? It's Duncan Robinson and Victor Oladipo. I'm not sure if I said Oladipo. Okay.
Yeah, you've been pretty adamant. Again, right? Like, this feels like, you know, we're really hoping that some team is willing to take on the potential of Duncan and the very high potential of Victor Oladipo. High potential in the sense that, like,
I love the fit for Dallas. They could really use a guy like Oladipo. Theoretically, is perfect for what the Mavericks need. Just another ball handler who could either play behind or next to Luka. And then Duncan Robinson. Mm-hmm. Can you imagine the wide open threes that he would get in Dallas with Luka just driving and kicking the way like. He has turned Reggie Bullock and Dorian Finney-Smith into good three-point shooters just because of how open they are. Could you imagine if Duncan Robinson would go back to shooting 40% plus from three-point range day one in
Dallas?
He's
durable, too. Like, you know, he's injured now, but I think...
For the most part, durable. I mean, yeah.
For the most part, yeah. Certainly much more than Tim Hardaway Jr. And you never have to worry about it. Yeah, like, they count on Hardaway being able to create and drive to the rim. They're missing some of that because Jalen Brunson gone now in New York. But we've seen that from Duncan, too. Like, I mean, whatever you're getting from Hardaway, certainly it'll be less athletic when coming from Duncan. But if he can put the ball down, use that floater that we've seen him incorporate this season, it's fine. But he's going to be a catch-and-shoot guy, and that's fine. That's exactly what he should be. It's Luka to Duncan all day long for a good, steady 3 to 4 3-pointers per game, I think. And it'd be a nice find for them.
I actually I think that – I don't know if this is enough for Miami, weirdly enough. Like, I don't know if this is enough for the Heat to do it. If the Mavericks called right now and say, hey, we'll give you Tim Hardaway Jr. and JaVale McGee for Duncan Robinson and Victor Oladipo, did the Heat do that? I don't know.
Hell yeah, they do it. Like, they have a center. Now, I mean, JaVale.
Could you play JaVale next to Bam?
With championship experience. Like, he played alongside Bam with the U.S. Olympic team. Like,
that's true.
I could see it being a great fit. Again, for a team that can't rebound for, you know, what, and that true. Has such a deficit at size, at least JaVale is a body out there. I know he's going to struggle, and I know Mavericks fans would be like, they're begging for us to take McGee off their hands. Not been a positive factor
it's a tough
there.
Tough contract.
But
man.
I mean, look, he's quirky. He's unusual. You know, you're not sure if you're going to get a fully engaged version of McGee.
But players like him.
I think he'd be a nice fit.
Players him across the league. They love him. There's a reason he's been around so long.
Pierre, right? That's his alter ego. I forgot exactly if there's a last name in there. But.
That's why I have it as one of the more likely ones, is because I actually think it's a home run for the Dallas Mavericks.
You see the question whether or not Miami would take Hardaway back, or if that's enough for them to take off.
I just don't know. Yeah, it depends on the health, right? But you could say the same thing about Victor Oladipo. But for him, at least it's a player option next year, where Tim Hardaway is under contract for so much longer. I think ideally Tim Hardaway could slot in as a sixth man. Tyler Hero obviously remaining a starter there, and then you can have him sort of anchoring a second unit offense, but. He's not really the ball creator that a guy like, you know, even Victor Oladipo is when healthy.
That's what Gabe Vincent's for, though. I mean, you got Gabe and Tim Hardaway coming off the bench.
With Strus and these guys, yeah. I mean, well, and I think there is maybe a world where you can play JaVale and Bam together. So, yeah, maybe. Maybe Dallas needs to throw in a second-round pick or something like that, just to sweeten her to put it over the top. Maybe it's something like that. I don't know. All right, final trade.
Ooh, another one.
Most likely trade. Involves the Los Angeles Clippers. Duncan Robinson to the Clippers for Robert Covington, and for salary matching purpose, they throw in some young guard named Jason Preston, who doesn't play for them. It doesn't matter. Makes $1.5 million a year. Doesn't care. The Clippers right now are 19th in three-point shooting rate in this season. You need space around Kawhi and Paul George for them to get downhill and attack. You need it. Robert Covington, kind of fallen out of the rotation for them, has been really ineffective as this backup five that they kind of reimagined his role to be, has not been very good for them. One of these guys, though, who I think needs a change of scenery, he shouldn't be playing backup 5 minutes. It's fun. It was kind of cool when he did it in Houston. The Clippers are trying to kind of remake that sort of thing for him. But put Robert Covington at the power forward spot, and I think problem solved for the Miami Heat, at least in terms of the starting lineup. And you're moving Duncan Robinson, who's sort of fallen out of the rotation, for Robert Covington, who's fallen out of the rotation with the Clippers. Again, just a change of scenery scenario for both guys here. I do have an alternative version of this trade if you'd like to hear it, but I want to hear your thoughts on Covington first.
Covington, fine. Again, a guy whose name has been linked to Miami for a long time because he is that versatile wing player. I could see the interest there. He could play the four. A less athletic Caleb Martin at this point in his career. I'm thinking of it from the Clippers perspective. Like, they've already got Luke Kennard there. They're paying him $15, $16 million a year for the next three seasons. I don't know that they'd want another limited shooter.
I'm glad you brought up Luke Kennard, because that's the alternative version of this deal.
Swapping Duncan for Luke? Oh, boy.
And then throwing Oladipo in it for salary. So now the Clippers are getting, for Robert Covington and Luke Kennard, Duncan Robinson and Victor Oladipo. So they're basically going from one ball handler shooter in Luke Kennard, and calling Luke Kennard a ball handler is a little generous at this point, to two perimeter players in Duncan Robinson and Victor Oladipo. And in Victor Oladipo's case, somebody who can actually do something with the ball in his hands. So you're going from one perimeter player to two perimeter players. And for the Clippers, you're throwing in Robert Covington, who again has basically fallen out of the rotation for you.
Yeah, the irony of some of these deals is that it feels like it's just so much more dependent on Victor Oladipo being capable of showing that he's still even a fraction of what Victor Oladipo can be.
Yeah.
And if that's the case, then it seems less likely that Miami would want to include him in a trade, just because, you know, that he'd be a competent ball handler, defender slash potential shooter and ball creator, you know, shot creator. So that being the case, I don't know that you're more willing to include a guy like Oladipo. And I just don't see another team going, yeah, we'll take a chance on the potential of Victor Oladipo. It's just, we've seen so little from him over the last five, six seasons.
Yeah.
It just seems like his constant barrage of injuries has really reduced who he's capable of being. And so while those flashes exist here and there in theory, I don't know that another team is willing to trade an actual prospect or an actual type player. So I don't
know. That's why I kind of keep going back to Phoenix and a Jay Crowder for Victor Oladipo swap. Just seems like it could work, but that's really dependent on...
Crowder's not playing.
Exactly. You're not losing anything. It's zero risk for Phoenix, and it's really zero risk for Miami too. And so the only reason that that doesn't happen is if Phoenix could somehow land Eric Gordon, which is the player that they are reportedly after and is like he's healthy and available and a much better fit than Victor Oladipo is because of that. So if they can't, if the Eric Gordon thing falls through, maybe an Oladipo for Crowder swap exists. Let's just wrap it up here. Your favorite trade out of the five that I put together?
I think the Dylan Brooks one. I mean, just like talking about it and getting the culture fit and everything else like that. The volatility, if not the, the ignitability. I think he's just more volatile than ignitable. I think it would be fun from a perspective. And again, I think it also helps Memphis. So that's, it seems like the deal that I would like best from the Miami side of things. But I'd have to say all of them seem very, very unlikely just because of those X factor as far as what you're including. And this is just the unfortunate part of any potential trade is like you have to give something that a team wants. And we've talked about this many times before. Miami just does not have anything. If you could get Jimmy Butler at half the salary, that's fine. But that's not an option either. I don't, you know, Tyler Herro was your best trade chip, which is why he was included in talks for, you know, Kevin Durant or Donovan Mitchell. And unfortunately, just wasn't enough. So Miami lacking trade assets at this point in their career. The cupboard is bare, as Pat Riley once said, and it continues to be so.
And one of the things I did not include was a draft pick in any of these deals, because I just don't believe the Miami Heat are going to pair it with a draft pick for some of these guys that we're talking about. Like, they're not doing it for these rotation players. And that's kind of what I wanted to hit on. Is it possible that the Heat try to make a big splash in the middle of the year? Yeah, sure. Before the deadline, maybe. But those deals are, though they are more common lately, they are still rare. And these kinds of deals, just sort of shuffling deck chairs, seem to be more common throughout the NBA, at least mid-season. So, I don't know. Trades are hard. I have no idea. None of these things probably end up happening, but I thought it'd be fun to explore a few of these ideas and maybe some of the teams. And that was sort of the instructive part of this. What are the teams that could actually use Duncan Robinson or at least stomach the risk in the contract that Duncan Robinson comes with? So whatever. There it is.
I'm trying to think in terms of like what teams, and this is usually how it works, right? Like Miami, a willing trade partner with these kinds of teams. They've traded with Houston before, so that's a good possibility.
Memphis.
They've traded with Oklahoma City a lot. Memphis in the past, I don't know, because they're new to the front office there, it's a little different.
Phoenix.
So I'm not sure. Toronto. Phoenix because of the... James Jones being there. And who we saw at FTX when they were in town with the Suns just a few days ago. So maybe he's there at Pat Riley's office talking about a potential deal there. Who knows? But I'm trying to think. There are not a lot of other very familiar trade partners from Miami at this point, you know. So
was this not the Memphis front office that was in charge during the Iguodala stuff? This is the same front office.
I think it's different. Chris Wallace, etc.
Chris Wallace wasn't in charge during the Andre Iguodala thing. I don't think
that was
3 years.
Feels
ago.
Again like it feels like an eternity ago.
All right,
four seasons have passed since then, and it's been a long, long time. Maybe you're right. Maybe if there's enough there of a comfort, and look, I mean, the reality is guys call each other all the time. Front offices call each other, try to get these deals. You know, again, it's just conversations that build up slowly over time. And then an injury or, you know, in this case, Miami suddenly dropping to 7-11. And then all of a sudden talks get a little bit more accelerated. Who knows what could happen?
These are more things that I thought were feasible prior to the season beginning, right? Like Covington falling out of the rotation is a development. Dylan Brooks being volatile the way that he has and not being super helpful for Memphis this year is a new development.
Desmond Bane taking a leap, too.
And Desmond Bane taking another leap, right? Tim Hardaway not finding his shooting stroke. All this kind of stuff makes the whole Jay Crowder situation. It all sort of, and this is why you hang on to your things and just wait for the market to develop, because things change all the time in the NBA. Thanks for making Locked On Heat your first listen every day. Remember to subscribe to new episodes of Locked On Heat on your favorite podcast app and on YouTube. Ring the bell to get notified as soon as new episodes go up. For your next listen, check out the Locked On Sports Today podcast, the biggest stories of the day, plus instant reactions, big game recaps, and the take of the day. It's available on the Odyssey app, YouTube, and wherever you get your podcasts. Have a happy Thanksgiving weekend to everybody, and to you too, David.
Thank you so much, Wes.